We became known as a group who believed in miracles. We would frequently receive phone calls asking us to come to the hospital and pray for someone in critical condition. We went and saw wonderful healings and miracles. It was a rich time for our ministry. Then suddenly the flow in the healing meetings changed. It was as if the life and vitality of the meetings diminished. At first, I wondered what we had done to cause this. Was something wrong? Did we grieve, Holy Spirit? What was happening? It was clear that the wind was not blowing on these gatherings as strongly as it had been. As I began to pray, the Lord told me that there was a seasonal shift taking place, and He wanted to do some new things. He began to pour out strategy. It became clear that the winds of redirection were upon us. As we obeyed the Lord's instructions, we experienced wonderful new assignments, and the hand of God brought even more miracles. The key is that my team and I determined to ride the wind. Wherever the wind of God was blowing, that was where I was going to be. I wasn't going to be out on my own just doing something because it was a good idea. At this point in my ministry, I have experienced so many different seasons. I have had wonderful seasons of pioneering, daring seasons of growth, stunning prophetic seasons of major God encounters, difficult wilderness seasons of refining, and glorious seasons of revival and renewing. I have also had seasons of rapid advance when God suddenly launched me forward. I have learned to be thankful for each season and have determined to maximize the moment. People who ride the wind refuse to stay stuck. God is not stuck, and He never planned for you to be stuck. When the wind blows upon an area of your life, follow that wind. Then the Lord will appear over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet and will march in the storm winds of the south. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14, New American Standard Bible. The Lord spoke to Israel and told them that He would defend them. He said that He would march in the wind, and their help was in the wind. Some time ago, I was praying and reading about great men and women of God. I found that many of them learned how to ride the winds. They were not so stuck in their ways that they could not change course when heaven mandated it. This is a spirit life key. You must be willing to go where the wind of God is sending you. You cannot just go by your own ideas or thinking. I read about one great revivalist who said that she always kept a bag packed. She would get caught up in the Spirit, and God would tell her to go to a nation, so she would immediately gather her things and head out. God used her to shake nations. She carried His glory in a significant manner and ministered under the glorious winds of heaven. Glory is in the wind. Glory people are spirit people. Spirit people are wind people. They move with the blowing of the wind of God. They discern the winds of the Spirit. There are various winds of God available to blow on people for various reasons. Healing winds, winds of change, winds of transformation, holy winds, and winds of transition. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, which means breath or wind. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Notice the order of events. God gathered the dust in order to create mankind, but it was not until the ruach, the breath of God and the wind of the Spirit, was released that man lived. The breath of God in us and upon us is what fuels our being. We are a spirit who lives in a body and possesses a soul. We are not a body with a spirit. The essence of who and what we are is the very breath of God Himself. It was this breath that left Adam and Eve in the garden so that they suddenly died. Their bodies lived, but they were spiritually dead, as they were cursed to be people of the dust and not people of the Spirit. The Spirit is the life. We are carriers of the winds of heaven. When we pray, wind is released. When we decree, wind is released. When we prophesy, wind is released. When we worship, wind is released. It comes from our inner man, swirls all around us, and then catches us up into heavenly wind. How did God birth the church? Did He assemble everyone together to be taught theology lessons? Did He begin with an organizational meeting? Did He have a heavenly board meeting to vote on what to do and how to do it? The answer to all these questions is a resounding no. God urged a hungry people to gather in a room and to wait there. They were to assemble and patiently remain on standby until something miraculous happened. They were asked to believe in something they had never seen or experienced. They were promised something revolutionary and remarkable. They were given the task of prayer. Prayer fuels the arrival and release of the wind in our lives. As this band of faithful ones was gathered in the upper room, there was a suddenly. In a moment, God blew through that assembly with the wild display of his power. The early church was launched in the wind. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire, being distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The sound of the wind hit, and everything changed. Holy Spirit showed up in the wind. His breath began to flow through that place, and things were turned upside down. No one was the same. It wasn't a sound effect. They were hearing the entrance of the Spirit of God. The wind had arrived. Tongues broke forth, and fire fell. New wine was poured out as men and women were intoxicated in the glory of God. They left that room forever changed. Peter, who had denied Christ and was racked with fear, became bold as a lion. He had been baptized in the wind and fire. He was chosen by God in a redemptive act to preach the first sermon of the church and to win 3,000 people to Jesus in a single moment. The wind that blew that day shifted the course of human history. That same wind is still blowing and rewriting history. That wind is still lifting men and women out of obscurity and mantling them for nations. That same wind is still releasing flames of consuming fire. That same wind is still sweeping gatherings of the hungry and reaching the very deepest places in the hearts of men. There is a spirit from the depths of hell that hates the wind. It comes to quench the breath and choke its victim to death. It is in the trio of anti-anointing demons that we are revealing in this book. It hides, waiting for the perfect moment to strike and implement its diabolical plans. It is a spirit that is determined to find people in places full of the wind of God and suffocate them. Sounds right, but wrong spirit. The Apostle Paul was on a preaching assignment when he encountered this evil demon. On one occasion, as we went to the place of prayer, a servant girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Acts chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. Paul was on his way to prayer. He was on assignment, determined to see the gospel released in a powerful capacity. As he was focused on his mission, a great distraction arose. This young woman, who was totally possessed with an evil spirit, began to follow him. She was constantly crying out as she followed him. The content of her message was not wrong, but there was a wicked entity involved in her pursuit. Paul had arrived in the region with a clear mandate from the Lord to spread the gospel. He was sent as an apostle to bring liberty, truth, and salvation. He was a general deployed into a crucial mission field. Who met him? I believe it was the ruling spirit of that region. I will elaborate as we continue. This young lady followed him and would not relent. She was possessed by a spirit of divination. The literal translation of divination is Python. The girl was being controlled by the Python spirit. It was binding the region with fortune-telling incantations and evil spiritual practices over the land. Paul was there to break its grip, but it was determined to stop him. Paul was being hunted by a serpent. He wasn't sitting around doing nothing. He was in hot pursuit of God's presence and plan. He was on his way to prayer when this snake showed up. This spirit comes on the scene when a person is full of the life-giving breath of God. To more fully understand the tactics of the spirit, we must recognize the type of serpent a python is. A python is a fierce, suffocating warrior that quietly and methodically stalks its prey. It does not kill a victim with venom. The danger of the python is not its bite, but its strength. When it sinks its teeth into its victim, the python is able to wrap its muscular body around the victim, constricting slowly. As the victim struggles for breath, the python tightens its hold. Every time the victim exhales, the pressure is increased, breaking bones and totally overwhelming the respiratory system. Finally, the victim concedes to the massive grip of the serpent, dying of suffocation. A python kills by removing the breath. This is the picture of this vile spirit. A python is a heat seeker. It identifies life by locating heat. Dead things are cold, but living things are full of warmth. The python spirit looks for the move of God. It looks for the spiritual breakthrough in those pursuing the more. It finds those on their way to higher places and slithers through their lives and ministries, waiting to impose its deadly grasp. She did this for many days, but becoming greatly troubled, Paul turned to the spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that moment. When her masters saw that the hope of their prophets was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, greatly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." The crowd rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them. After they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Having received such an order, he threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were loosened. Acts chapter 16, verses 18 to 26. This young woman persistently followed Paul and his team around. She was loosing evil witchcraft against them. Though her words were not necessarily incorrect, Paul discerned the spirit behind what she was saying. This is how the devil works. When you are pressing in to the fire of God, the passion of prayer, and the longing for revival, the enemy sends a demonic attack to distract and disrupt your pursuit. Paul was grieved in his spirit. He could sense the presence of evil in this young lady. On the outside, it may have looked good, but there is a foul serpent lurking just beneath the surface. Thank God for the discerning of spirits and revelation knowledge. If only all Christians realized what a powerful position they occupy in the Spirit through the completed work of Jesus. Not only did Jesus win the spiritual battles for us and position us in Him, but He also paved the way for the wonderful Holy Spirit to come and indwell us. We can hear from heaven and avoid devilish traps through the leading of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We can walk with the Holy Spirit into truth, illumination, and victory. We do not have to be blinded by the powers of hell. The python spirit is connected to fortune-telling and the working of familiar spirits. This young lady brought great financial rewards to her masters through her fortune-telling. She was empowered by a false spirit. The Greeks believed in the connection between Python and Apollo. They also embraced an oracle, a demon-possessed false prophet, whose body would be taken over by familiar spirits to release the utterances provided from evil spirits. The Greeks believed wholeheartedly in these evil spiritual practices. This culture of a python and the oracle predicting events had invaded Philippi. This evil python spirit and its practices influenced everyday life in Macedonia. According to Greek mythology, the serpent, who guarded the temple at Delphi, was killed by Apollo. And then the oracle at Delphi took on the name Pythia, and Apollo became known as Pythian Apollo. The word Pythian was later applied to diviners or soothsayers inspired by Apollo. The python spirit empowers evil sorceries and false spirit communication. As Paul was ministering throughout the region of Macedonia, he undoubtedly saw and discerned the reach and grip of this evil spirit. There are historical accounts of violent physical reactions as false prophetic voices yielded to this demon in Greek culture and released utterances. Their bodies were overtaken by this serpent. In much the same way as the power of God affected people's physical bodies in the upper room, this demonic entity overwhelms a person who opens the door and creates evil manifestations as it releases its venomous prophecies. The python spirit is alive and well in the world today, working through psychics, fortune-tellers, mediums, and all manner of false spiritualists. These underworld practices are clearly and strongly forbidden in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 states, "The person who turns to spirits through mediums and necromancers in order to whore after them, I will even set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people." Christians are not to seek out spiritual assistance from any source other than God's Word, His gifts, His Spirit, and those being led by His Spirit. Seeking spiritual assistance elsewhere is a sure way to open doors to the enemy in your life. A number of years ago, I encountered a woman who was totally overrun with demonic powers. She would sit in church meetings and begin to manifest demons. Her body would contort in a way that looked as if a serpent was operating through her. As the process unfolded, she would twitch with strange movements and then belch repeatedly. The manifestations became a tremendous distraction. The leaders at the church were ministering to her, but she refused spiritual help. She would have to be removed from meetings because of the commotion she would cause. I will never forget one episode in church. There was a guest speaker preaching quite powerfully. In the blink of an eye, the demon-possessed woman turned and slapped her husband across the face. It made a huge noise, and everyone looked around, but she had moved under supernatural power, and very few people saw it because it was so fast. I happened to catch it from where I was sitting, but she moved uncommonly fast. This woman had gotten wrapped up in false spiritual practices and became overwhelmed by the power of darkness. She opened a door for demons to come inhabit her. The devil doesn't care how small the crack in the door is. He will exploit it to come in. This is why governing our spiritual lives by the Word of God and obeying the promptings of Holy Spirit are critical. The python spirit seeks to ensnare people in a false prophetic capacity, to choke the very life of God out of them. The python spirit will release false fire over your life. The python spirit will release false words over your future. The python spirit will loose strange fire upon you. The python spirit will entice you, and then cunningly take you into its deadly lair to defeat you. Vision invader. One of the words for prophet in the Old Testament is translated seer. For example, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 11. The scriptures often refer to Old Testament prophets as seers. This is a particular type of prophetic function that indicates a high level of visionary encounters in the realm of the spirit. Seers receive detailed prophetic encounters in visions, dreams, and night visions. They process the realm of the spirit in high definition. They are often totally swept up into the spirit realm, far beyond the confines of this natural world. They feel and sense things in a way that is deeply impacting. This is true of all prophetic people. They are extremely engaged in the realm of the spirit. Many young prophets and seers struggle to find anyone who can assist them in developing their gift, to understand the very real experiences they are having. Oftentimes, churches shun the prophetic ministry due to lack of understanding, controlling demons, or religious traditions. It's sad to say, but many churches today have made a conscious decision to program out the move of God. They view prophets and prophetic people as troublemakers. These abandoned prophets in the making are having spiritual encounters and experiences that they don't understand. If they cannot find help in the kingdom of God, they can be drawn into false spiritual practices because they are embraced by people who have spiritual language and an understanding of what they are experiencing. Sadly, I believe that many God-called prophets have been deceived by the python spirit and are functioning outside of God's call and blessing upon their lives. This is one reason that I am passionate about prophetic teaching, training, and activation. I don't want to see Python tangle up and deceive future world changers. I pray that God will raise up an army of spiritual mothers and fathers who will accept, love, and groom prophets, seers, and those with uncommon prophetic abilities. It is also key that those being trained are humble and submissive. One of the quickest ways for a deeply prophetic person to get off track is pride. Seeing and knowing in the spirit realm is a God-given gift. Pride comes in when people begin to use their gifts as a means of lifting themselves up and demanding people recognize their greatness. It becomes very demonic behavior that draws people away from Jesus and does damage to the people of God instead of strengthening them and serving them. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. The python spirit comes to choke the life, the wind, and the breath out of you. When you are under attack from a python spirit, there is an uncommon sense of heaviness and oppression. As much as it is a false prophetic spirit, it is also a wicked spirit of bondage. It was no mistake that it was attempting to distract and derail the Apostle Paul. It wanted to stall out the mission that God had sent him on. It wanted to abort the apostolic assignment. Python comes to rob the life-giving force of anointing and power. In the spiritual warfare battle plan, Jennifer LeClaire sums it up perfectly. The python spirit had a stronghold in Philippi. When the man of prayer started heading for the house of prayer, the spirit launched its first attack against him. A distraction, followed by a full-blown trial that aimed to take him out of his purpose. Python knows it has no authority in a city that prays in the presence of God, so it works to distract people from praying, so they can't fulfill their purpose. Python would rather watch you lick your wounds than pray to a healing God. Python would rather hear you complain or gossip than take your problems to a miracle-working God. Python would rather distract you with attacks, trials, and persecutions than see you press into a gracious God for deliverance. Again, Python's ultimate goal is to put you in bondage and thwart your purpose. You may be going through the motions but feel dead on the inside because Python has squeezed the life out of you. The Python spirit is an enemy of revival. It shows up to squeeze those who are pressing in to receive fresh flames of fire, strong anointing, and life-giving outpouring. Python has an assignment in regions to clearly identify those who pose a spiritual threat. When new ministries are established in a lukewarm territory and begin to engage the heavenlies, releasing the life of God over dry people, Python senses the heat and comes lurking in the darkness ready to strike. Understanding the operation of the spirit is essential for those who are going to shake a territory. It is certain that Python will show up. Recognizing its evil plots empowers you to overcome. The Python spirit comes into families to put them under such a heavy squeeze that they quit moving forward. There is an anointing for families. In the same way that God empowers a person for exploits or a church for great things, he can release fresh oil over a family to bond together, to love one another, to experience the kingdom together, and to defeat the operation of hell. Python will come to bind up that power and create a cold atmosphere void of the life of God. Python comes against prayer. The spirit wants to kill prayer lives. It knows that prayer is one of the most potent weapons in the arsenal of a believer. It doesn't mind if people go through the motions of religion with no spiritual power, but when they begin to hunger for intimate communication with God, this demon gets nervous. Paul was raising up a kingdom movement that centered on prayer in the presence of God, and Python was determined to shut it down. If Paul had not properly discerned this demon, it is hard to say where the church would be today. Thank God the apostle of God refused to give in. Thank God he didn't move away from the promise. Thank God he rebuked that demon. Thank God he was a warrior. Points to consider. Have you been distracted, particularly in prayer? Have you opened any doors to familiar spirits? Have you battled heaviness? Do you feel as if you just cannot go forward in what God has called you to do? Are there any enduring spiritual battles that could be the operation of a Python spirit? Where to begin? Understand that the Python spirit comes after things that are alive. When you press into God, this demon will attempt to take you out. Concerning prophetic ministry, it is extremely important to guard yourself, making sure that you are drinking from a pure stream. How can you know that? By a person's fruit, alignments, and integrity. Don't just accept every prophetic word. Examine it by the written word, and make sure the vessel is pure. This does not mean to be critical, but it means to honestly evaluate. Deception begins with a small seed. Prayer. I thank you, Lord, that I am not deceived. I hear your voice and obey your leading. I ask for clear direction. Lord, I come before you, thanking you for your purity in my life. I receive the washing of your blood, and I thank you for freedom from all deception. I embrace your wind in my life. I am hungry for your anointing, for your power, for your fire. I want your life moving in me and ministering to others through me. I break the grip of every operation of the Python spirit in Jesus' name. I break its power right now and command it to go. I thank you, Lord, that I am free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 7. Breaking Python's Grip. We've established that the Python spirit attacks and chokes the breath out of its victims. When Paul exposed the spirit, it was hiding in the young lady. She was saying and doing things that seemed right to others. Yet there was something that disturbed Paul. He was looking beyond the natural realm, glimpsing the unseen realm of spirits. One of the keys to defeating the spirit is recognition. You must be able to see it to defeat it. Know your enemy. The gift of discerning of spirits empowers a believer to see the spirit motivating a person or situation. During the operation of this gift, spiritual eyes are opened so that truth is illuminated. This is imperative in dealing with the enemy, who is a master at hiding. Prophetic exposure brings violent confrontation. When Paul cast the Python spirit out, there was a massive counterattack, but his faith never wavered. After being attacked, mistreated, and falsely accused, he held a spontaneous worship service in a prison cell. His praise brought about liberty. Paul's reaction reveals keys to freedom from this spirit. worship, praise, and faith. We will explore each of these keys to understand how they bring deliverance from the grip of an evil serpent. We will also examine the appearance of demonic spirits throughout the Bible and the promises of God's power over their attacks. We will draw lessons from the life of Paul by discussing his demonic encounters and victory strategies. To grasp the concept of the python spirit, it is important to identify the hunting techniques of an actual python. These serpents are not known to kill their prey with deadly venom. They hide, lurking in the darkness and patiently waiting to capture their victim. They are proficient in identifying life by the presence of heat. Where there is heat, there is vitality and breath. As we established earlier, breath represents life in the spirit and the move of God. A python spirit, then, comes after that which is alive and moving. It has no interest in stalking lukewarm believers. They are already in its grip. It comes after people who are manifesting the heat of God and releasing the breath of heaven. It lies in wait for the perfect moment to strike. When does python strike? As a person is pressing into the things of God. This demon stalked the Apostle Paul on his way to prayer. Its purpose was to extinguish the move of God. A python spirit suddenly strikes its prey, coiling its massive body around the victim, putting it in a deadly squeeze, and slowly killing it. This demon functions much like a natural python in that it grips its victim, choking the spiritual wind out of it. The python spirit hates the life-giving anointing of God and comes to contaminate, diminish, and quench the anointing. It is hunting every person who is moving in the spirit. It is on the prowl looking for fiery places of revival with the intent of shutting down the move of God. It is actively searching the earth for ministries that are moving in the Spirit. It will release plans to stall out the move of God. When the python spirit strikes, vitality is lost and the life of God is suffocated. It loves to choke out the move of God. It loves to remove the life-giving flow of heaven. Under attack by a python spirit, you feel lifeless. It squeezes you with fierce pressure to get you to give up on hopes, dreams, plans, and purposes. It wants you to settle for a mediocre spiritual life void of the rich power of heaven. The python spirit will get you second-guessing the things that heaven clearly and accurately revealed to you in the secret place. This is one of the cornerstones of a python attack. It grips the mind and does all that it can to stall out your pursuit of heaven's agenda. It is an anti-anointing demon. The anointing is connected to your purpose. Python is on assignment to dilute your purpose and thereby hinder the anointing in your life. Heavy mind traffic and swirling thoughts of confusion are elements of the python attack plan. The enemy knows that the mind is the point of logic, thought, and reason. If he can sow seeds of destruction and confusion in the human mind, then he can create questioning of the call of God, stealing clarity. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not have part of me. Psalm 101, verse 3. This is a strong word. Guarding our eyes ultimately helps protect our minds. The enemy recognizes the power of the human mind. It has often been said that if you can imagine it, you can become it. The Bible declares in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This means that our inner thought life dictates the direction of our outward living. When a spiritual attack strikes the mind, the ultimate goal is to pollute thinking and cause the person to sink down into a pit of despair. This is especially true when the python spirit is at work. Its twisting and deceitful lies put purpose under siege in an attempt to derail destiny. Therefore, guard your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We are to be intentional about guarding our thought lives. We cannot and must not allow every negative thought to take root in our imaginations. Our imaginations are the creative engines of our beings. When our imaginations are not protected, we begin to see, dream, and declare destruction. The aim of a spiritual attack is to get people so bound in confusion and fear that they prophesy their own defeat. Python pollutes. A python spirit overwhelms its prey with a barrage of negative thoughts. It attempts to pollute the creative flow with damaging negativity. We must be quick to recognize this scheme. Casting down contrary thoughts with the name of Jesus and the Word of God is two of our weapons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are instructed to cast down imaginations. This is not passive on our parts. This is aggressive warfare. This demands action from us. In the spirit realm, words carry authority and power. We must combat the lies of the enemy with a strong confession. We need to immediately command those thoughts to leave in the name of Jesus. We must exercise bold authority over lying thoughts with the words of our mouths. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Keeping our mouths full of the word of God, the promises of God, and the will of God is the key to victory. We are to combat the lies of the enemy with the words of our mouths. We are also to use the word of God as a weapon. For every lie, we need to answer with the truth. Answer the attack with a promise. Jesus revealed a tremendously effective warfare strategy when the devil came to tempt him. Each time the enemy released warfare and lies against him, he answered with the word of God. Then Jesus said to him, "Get away from here, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. The devil hurled lies and temptations at Jesus, but at every point he was met with truth. Jesus stood on the word of God. Jesus spoke the word of God. Jesus fought the devil with the word of God. This is our example when under attack. We need to meet the enemy with the word of God. God's word acts as a defensive weapon, repelling the aggressive advances of the enemy. We can stand firmly upon the promises in the word of God. As we dive deep into God's word, our faith is built, and we are empowered to come out of the crippling effect of spiritual attack. When the Apostle Paul discerned, confronted, and cast out the Python spirit, there was an uproar. Paul and Silas were brutally attacked, stripped, beaten, and imprisoned as a result of a major demonic counterattack. Demons and demonic powers understand the art of war. One of the things that a successful army must do is stop the advance of the enemy. The army cannot allow an advance to go forth without opposing it. Many times when you engage the realm of the spirit and catch the attention of the enemy, you will receive a counterattack. Knowing this prepares you to face the onslaught and come out on the other side with victory. You are not to have a spirit of fear, you are to become a skillful warrior. He trains my hand for war, so that my arms bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has held me up, and your gentleness has made me great. Psalm 18, verses 34 and 35. David penned this powerful declaration of strength. He was known as a fierce warrior, who understood the art of battle and had tasted the sweet cup of victory. Time and again, God delivered and defended this radical lover of his presence. David was a worshiping warrior. He knew how to hide deeply in the arms of the Father. His unwavering affection for the Lord brought the presence of God into his life like a tidal wave. He dwelled in the courts of the Lord, enjoying immeasurable favor and supernatural protection. He faced massive spiritual attacks, but kept coming out on the other side with the victory. Use your secret weapons. The journey into destiny is not completed without a fight. The Python spirit comes to undo the sense of purpose in our lives. It comes to squeeze out the fresh breath of heaven. It comes to hinder our prayer lives and dilute the anointing we carry. Python launched a severe retaliation against Paul and his apostolic team, but they had a secret weapon. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were loosened. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Despite the unjust beatings, the public humiliation they faced by being stripped naked in front of everyone, and their imprisonment, Paul and Silas decided to lift their voices in praise at the midnight hour. It is revealing that they began their spontaneous worship session at the darkest time of night. There is a message here. When the enemy blasts or retaliates against you, and everything is falling apart, praise will bring you supernatural strength. Praise is a weapon. When we enter the realm of praise, we are fervently expressing our gratitude to the Lord and remembering His greatness. Praise establishes Jesus as Lord over every trial, every storm, every attack, and every present circumstance in our lives. As we fill our mouths with thanksgiving and fervent declarations of the goodness of God, we break through the fog of battle and encounter the warmth of His love and the force of His power. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the men of Judah supernaturally won the battle against the enemy by praising and worshiping God. God defended them and set ambushes against their enemies because of their affection for Him. Praise was the choice weapon. It was Paul's and Silas's praise that brought the presence of God into the prison and shook them loose. Praise can break the chains of bondage. Praise can shatter the lies of the enemy. Praise can chip away at the heaviness and release the glory. Once the glory comes in, you cannot stay bound. It is impossible. When God's presence fills a place, bondage has no choice but to go. Praise brings liberty. I remember a time when the power of God was healing people as I was ministering in a small church. A man came forward who had been battling severe back pain and had very limited movement. I felt the anointing and the power of God as I began to pray for him. After I prayed, I asked him to check his movement and the pain. Nothing had changed as far as he could tell. I began to praise the Lord. As I thanked God and worshipped him, I got totally swept up in his presence. I was getting so blessed by the presence of God that I really forgot about the man in our prayer request. My hands were still on the man because I had been praying for him, but now I was lost in the presence of God, having my own praise party. After several minutes, a surge of God's anointing came. The man began to move, and he said he was without pain and had full restoration of movement. Praise had overtaken affliction. Discerning a python attack. There are two ways that you can properly detect the presence of a python spirit. First, you can identify it by becoming aware of its tactics. Secondly, it can be supernaturally revealed to you through the gifts of the Spirit. We will discuss both methods, but we will begin by listing the symptoms of a python attack and exploring each one to be equipped to detect, confront, and defeat this slithering demon. It comes on the scene during a spiritual advance. The python spirit shows up in the life of a person during his or her pursuit of God. Python comes on the scene in the life of a church or ministry as it is pressing into the deeper things of God. Python has an assignment to bind and hinder the anointing. It is drawn to Holy Spirit heat. This attack will come at times of spiritual movement and progress. It says things that sound right but grieve you on the inside. We do not have a clear record of exactly how this demonic stalker was acting around Paul, but we do know what she was saying. This account provides us with some keen insight. In judging spiritual things, it is vital to examine not only the content, but also the spiritual motivation behind it. For example, a minister can preach a sermon on faithfulness, but if his motive is to control people, then it is an error. A person with a python spirit manifesting may say all types of things that are right biblically, but does not have a right spirit behind him. If you have a check in your spirit, pay attention. Stop and pray over it. Do not just shun the warning that God is giving you. Paul saw what others could not see. It makes you feel restricted, overwhelmed, and bound. All spiritual attacks will release heaviness and bondage upon your life. One of the telltale signs of an attack is when you experience extreme heaviness. The python spirit coils around you and puts you in a tight squeeze. You feel absolutely restricted and bound. It can come with flattery. The woman following Paul was saying all types of nice things with an undertone of flattery. Demons will often attempt to gain access by telling us what we want to hear. Again, this is why examination and prayer are key. Flattery overemphasizes things with an ulterior motive. It produces exaggerated kindness and grandiose spiritual announcements. It is designed to entangle your soul in order to get a foothold. It is a stalker of the anointing. The python pursues the anointing. It will follow people who are anointed. It will show up in places where there is a strong flow of heaven. It can partner with religious spirits, the Jezebel spirit, witchcraft, and other demons to twist and squeeze the life out. Demons like to tag team and partner for dark conquests. Typically, when a major attack is launched against a leading ministry or person, there is more than one hidden devil. A python spirit can work in tandem with a religious spirit to squeeze the power out of someone's life. It can also act with the spirit of witchcraft and Jezebel to manifest a false and contaminated spiritual flow. It persecutes the function and flow of anointing and comes against the move of God. When Python comes to squeeze out the flow of heaven, it will persecute and mock the anointing of God. If it comes into a ministry, it will come against strong moves of God, finding fault and complaining. It will do the same in someone's personal life. It will bring railing accusation about spiritual encounters. We should and must judge all things by the word of God, including heavenly encounters. Python raises unfounded concerns to totally shut down the sweet presence of God. It is drawn to people with the fire of God. Python looks for those with the flames of God on their lives. It comes to put out the flame. It does not want the people of God burning with cleansing fire. It is one of the spirits that fuel false prophetic flow, psychics, and so on. Python empowers occult activity, false predictions, false prophetic flow, and psychic powers. It is an evil demon that manifests false fire. It can accurately relay information that it unlawfully obtains from the spirit realm, but it is totally demonic. It cannot reveal the heart of God. False prophetic ministry always reveals things, details, and pieces of information, but it does not reveal Jesus. Real prophets reveal Jesus. They may share pieces of information or identify something that has happened in your life. Prophets see and know. They hear and encounter. They have supernatural access and can be highly accurate in their prophetic words over our lives. But each and every prophetic encounter will always end up drawing a person closer to Jesus. That is what real prophetic ministry does. Anything less than that is false. It can attempt to access position through impure prophetic ministry. This is a common attribute of demonic spirits manifesting false fire. They will often attempt to gain an audience with a leader or access into the life of a person with impure prophetic ministry. The Python spirit manifests in this capacity looking for influence. It will release information and illegitimate words to bait a person into allowing it into his circle of influence. Authentic prophetic ministry and prophets do not struggle to be noticed or to gain position. Many prophets would rather be in their prayer closet seeking God than on a stage or occupying a position of influence. It manifests a false anointing and power. The Python spirit can be a carrier of strange fire. It can manifest realms of supernatural power and flow that come from the demonic realm. It can attack your physical body. As we know, man is a three-part being. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. Spiritual attacks typically show up on multiple fronts in these various dimensions of our lives. For example, it is not uncommon for someone under an attack of heaviness to experience physical symptoms of exhaustion. The Python spirit is a constrictive spirit that comes to choke off the flow of wind and air. In a spiritual sense, it will choke fresh life, prophetic anointing, and Holy Spirit wind. In the physical arena, it can manifest as choking, severe respiratory problems, or even coiling of the physical body when being cast out. Many times in deliverance, the Python spirit being confronted will manifest with serpent-like moves in the physical body. I've seen many prophets and prophetic people get hit with the Python spirit and have extraordinary bouts of respiratory, breathing, and throat attacks. These are uncommon attacks with a twofold purpose, to manifest in both the spiritual and natural realm. To be clear, not every physical issue is a spirit, but some are. We know that demonic powers can attack the physical realm, and this one does. It attacks the breath, wind, lungs, and voice. Learning the schemes and operations of the Python spirit empowers believers for victory. We can quickly detect its operation and develop a prayer strategy to counteract its unlawful operations. Being armed with proper knowledge brings advantage in the arena of spiritual warfare. As we grow in our understanding of demonic spirits, their wicked desires, their battle tactics, and how to defeat them, we are skillfully equipped for victory. Use the gifts. Gaining knowledge regarding the Python spirit is only one way that we can be prepared. There is another vital tool in uncovering hidden demonic powers. The realm of spirit leading and the gifts of the spirit are power weapons to properly expose demon spirits. Every Christian has the right to tap into the realm of revelation and the leading of Holy Spirit. One of the wonderful gifts that has been provided in this set of gifts is the discerning of spirits. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the common good. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But that one and very same Spirit works all these, dividing to each one individually as he will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Believers have been granted unlimited access to the realm of revelation and the all-knowing mind of Christ. Included in the ministry of Holy Spirit are these nine gifts that access spiritual breakthroughs and supernatural power. One of the greatest weapons against hidden devils is the discerning of spirits. What precisely is the gift of discerning of spirits? It is the ability to see, discern, and recognize the spirit motivating a person or situation. This gift can manifest in a variety of ways. All spiritual gifts operate as a means of transmitting divine information and power. Each one accesses different parts of the nature of God. The discerning of spirits allows a person to see and recognize a spirit being. This gift provides much-needed spiritual intelligence. It can function in a variety of ways. For example, people can discern a spirit by having an inner vision in which they see something with the eyes of their spirit and know that it is a spiritual being. People can experience a scent. They actually smell something that reveals the presence of a demon. In the realm of the spirit, demons are foul. I have had experiences dealing with a person with an unclean spirit when I supernaturally smelled an awful stench that let me know there was a demonic power in operation. People can hear the voice of the Lord speaking to them about a spirit in operation. There are many methodologies of communicating the information, but the end result is the same. A spirit being is revealed. Every Christian needs to thank God for the 9 gifts of the Spirit. When I was first born again, one of my mentors taught me that the Holy Ghost lives in my belly, and therefore all 9 gifts of the Spirit live in me. My mentor also told me that if I forgot to claim them, they would not be in operation. Faith is in the believing, speaking, and doing. All exploits of faith have those 3 components. You believe, and therefore you speak. As you speak, you do. Faith creates movement and momentum. Spiritual gifts need to be activated. Begin to claim the discerning spirits in your life. Take time to thank God and tell Him that you believe this gift is in you and active. Speak it out by faith. Then be quick to pay attention when God speaks. One encounter with the discerning of spirits can literally save you years of trouble. Recently, I went to speak for a pastor whom I did not know very well. Right before I was scheduled to go, a dear friend of mine gave me a warning about the pastor and the ministry, but it was too late for me to cancel. When I arrived, I immediately sensed something was not right. The pastor was saying all the right words, but there was a void in the realm of the spirit. I prayed throughout my time there, and my eyes were opened to see a stronghold of rejection that caused the pastor to do immature, even offensive things. Rejection, control, and even lying manifested while I was there. The discerning of spirits, along with wisdom from understanding spiritual warfare and people, helped me avoid a long-term relationship with this pastor that would have only brought great distraction and damage. I felt bad for the pastor, the church, and the family because they were all hurting as a result of these spirits buffeting this leader. The pastor needed deliverance and emotional healing. Although I was thrilled to minister to the people there, the alignment was bad, and I was glad to get out of that atmosphere. When you are in a spiritually toxic atmosphere, it depletes you. If you are a prophetic person, you really feel the swirling of evil powers, and your heart yearns for deliverance and healing for those involved. A strategy is an action plan with specific steps to achieve an objective. Let's talk about a strategy to conquer the Python spirit in your life, your ministry, your family, or any other facet of daily living. How can we conquer this intruding force? First, it begins with recognition. All spiritual warfare is rooted in the ability to see what is trying to remain hidden. When you are dealing with any demon, you must see it for what it is. You cannot downplay it or ignore it. Ignoring a demon power in your life can result in horrific consequences. Recognition and identification are critical. Look at the symptoms and the manifestations, and then tap into any leading that you have. But if you are not forced into a timeline, then wait on the Lord for instruction. Python struck Paul on the way to prayer. Prayer is the force that often unravels the mind of God in a situation. We are given a powerful war strategy in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, as Paul teaches on the armor of God. No spiritual warrior is complete without armor. Many of us have memorized and know the symbolism behind each piece. We pray and put on our armor by faith. But there's a vital instruction right after the portion of Scripture about our armor. Paul makes a statement that must not be overlooked. Pray in the Spirit always, with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert, with all our perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Spend time praying and listening. It is amazing what God can show you when you seek Him. Prayer is the foundation of productive warfare. Then use your authority. Command the spirit of Python to break its hold in the name of Jesus. Paul directly confronted the spirit and cast it out. Command Python to go. Stand boldly in the place of authority through the sacrifice of Jesus, and tell the python it has to go. Break its power with the name of Jesus. Break its heaviness with the name of Jesus. Break its divination with the name of Jesus. If Python has made any false decrees over you, break them. Take authority over them and call them broken. Use the weapon of praise. What did Paul do? He praised God. He boldly lifted his voice to the Lord. Praise will keep the momentum going. If you feel that serpent slithering, twisting, and attacking, start praising God. As you are praising him, remember the times in your life when his goodness prevailed, and then thank the Lord for them. Get swept up in the goodness of God, and the anointing will flow. When the anointing flows, it will begin smashing the burdens and removing the bondage. Finally, stand upon the word of God. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus and use the written word as your promise book. Find key verses that minister to your situation. Meditate on them, and then speak them out of your mouth. Answer the enemy with the word of God. He cannot defeat you when you align yourself with the word, the blood, and the name of Jesus. Those are victory master keys. Cut off the head of the python and go free. Points to consider. Have you been discouraged, overwhelmed, or stagnant? Recognize that the python spirit wants to choke out the life in you. Increasing your prayer life will keep you built up in the spirit. Where to begin? Praise and worship are keys to overcoming any demonic attack. You have authority over demons, so fight back from a place of victory. Jesus taught us to use the word of God. It is written. Prayer. Thank you, Lord, that I am free from all the power of the enemy. Show me any areas of my life or ministry where I have allowed any demonic influence. Show me if I am compromising in any area, and help me walk in purity and holiness. I decree that I will fulfill the purpose for which I was created and will not be stopped or hindered by the spirit of Python or any other spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 8. The DNA of the Religious Spirit. One of the ultimate aims of anti-anointing spirits is to trap a person in dead works with no spiritual power or thrust. The anointing is like wind that empowers and accelerates the purposes of God. It is jet fuel in the realm of the Spirit. Building in the kingdom without the presence of the anointing will lead to discouragement and bondage. The enemy wants to create a dry spiritual climate with no breakthrough or freedom. One of his favorite weapons is the religious spirit. What exactly is a religious spirit? Simply defined, it is a demon power that uses religious structures to entangle people in bondage, prevent transformation, and enforce the spiritual status quo. It fights revelation, defies prophetic insight, hates apostolic authority, and uses tradition to build structures of limitation. Don't let the oil run dry. Living in the kingdom demands the precious oil of Holy Spirit on a regular basis. This was one of the most distinguishing aspects of Jesus' ministry. Everywhere he went, there were supernatural results. You could not encounter the ministry of Jesus without encountering the power of God. The two went hand in hand. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 boldly declares, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That means we should expect the same realm of power to show up now when we preach and declare Jesus in his glorious kingdom. The power of God is a witness to the person of Jesus. The power of God is part of the authenticity of the kingdom. The power of God is evidence of our sonship and position of redemption through the blood of the Lamb. We have been granted power over the devil. We have been given supernatural power over disease. We have been given power over temporary circumstances and challenges. Our inheritance brings access to the full majesty of heaven. We are called to live in the anointing. We are called to move in the supernatural. We should not bow to the lies of the enemy or just give up in defeat. There is oil to help in every situation. There is Holy Spirit power and refreshing. The religious spirit comes to void those realities and crush life in the spirit. It comes to stifle and hinder. It comes to mock and challenge. It comes to bind and restrict. Many people begin with vibrant spiritual lives but end up dry and empty because of the religious spirit. Some years ago, the Lord sent me to a specific region to establish ministries and labor for awakening. We began to experience explosive results. God did spectacular and supernatural things in our midst. After a period of time, I began to meet some of the pastors who had sizable ministries in the region. I noticed a common thread. They were all dry. I heard story after story of how their ministries began with the raw power of God. But over time, they were worn down by criticism, complaints, and attacks, only to retreat and build ministries that were lukewarm. As I stepped into a higher perspective, I realized that I was seeing the stronghold in that region, the religious spirit. It was active in every fiber of people's thinking and ruled the churches. It manifested through the sound of the region. It manifested through the government of the region. It manifested through the ecclesia of the region. Any ministry or voice that came in to challenge it was swiftly opposed. Over a period of years, I tangled with this spirit many times. I had several prophetic dreams about the religious spirit and its plans in the territory. The bottom line is that it had established a successful stronghold and was choking the life out of the people of God. That is the aim of this horrendous demon. Then the Pharisees went and took counsel to entangle him in his words. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God truthfully and are swayed by no one, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." They brought him a denarius. He said to them, "Whose is this image and inscription?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they were amazed and left him and went on their way. Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. The religious elite of the day were trying to ensnare Jesus in a demonic trap. They were furious because he was preaching a message of power, love, and the kingdom. They were preaching a message of defeat, condemnation, and bondage. Jesus was loosing the captives and delivering the bound. They were exalting themselves while trampling upon the destiny of sons and daughters. Jesus was moving in great power and authority, while they were dry and void of breakthrough. This is a picture of the stark contrast between the gospel and religion. The gospel will always point humanity to the grace of the cross and the complete sacrifice of Jesus. By moving through that reality, we can ultimately find our positions as sons and daughters, demonstrating the kingdom, relating to God as Abba, our Father, and enjoying the carefree life of one who has been gloriously ransomed. It is easy to move in the power of God when we know our roles in his kingdom. Religion preaches a message of death, destruction, and entanglement. Religion strives without results. It points to human weakness instead of divine solutions. Religion works aggressively to deny and nullify the absolute price that was paid at Calvary. Religion continues to demand more without acknowledging that the price has been paid. Religion builds walls instead of doors and gates. Freedom will always offend religion. In the passage in Matthew 22, there are some telltale signs of the religious spirit. These markers help us properly understand the makeup of this evil power. They conspired against Jesus. The religious spirit will rally allies in offense and anger. The Pharisees were outraged by Jesus' preaching and ministry, so they began to strategize in secret. Secrecy is one of the devil's great strategies. The enemy slithers around under the cover of darkness. His minions work best in hiding. The prophetic spirit boldly shines the light on hidden devils. That is why demons hate prophets, prophetic people, and prophetic ministry. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The gospel brings the light of God on the scene. Light exposes the power of hell. The religious spirit operates with secret councils, secret committees, and backroom deal-makers. They met in secret to attack Jesus. This is the game plan of the religious spirit. They were offended by truth, yet honored dead traditions. The religious spirit does not honor the word of God. It twists the word of God to strip away the power of God. Religion establishes traditions without power. People go through the motions without any results or breakthrough. Where the anointing is, there is breakthrough and freedom. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. Mark chapter 7, verse 8. They held secret meetings joined together by a common offense. When you remove the oil of Holy Spirit, there is a dry atmosphere. Dry people are easily offended. I've never seen a religious person, religious church, or religious ministry where there is not an abundance of offense. God unites people by spiritual purpose, assignment, and legacy, but demons rally people around anger, bitterness, and offense. They used flattery to his face, yet